of him, none of them.
Hallelujah, let's clap.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Amen. Let's sing, we shall rise, amen, in that resurrection morning. We are one of them. We don't realize who we are. We don't realize what is done for us. One day we'll realize the fullness of all things. Amen. Now we see glass darkly, but there we'll see face to face. But we can see face to face. When we reach a certain level, I'll see my brother, I'll see things the way they are. Then we work with seriousness to get to the kingdom. Amen.
In that resurrection morning, when the trumpet shall sound, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. And the saints will come rejoicing, these will be found. We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. And our loved ones, we shall sing, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall.
Oh, aren't you glad this morning?
We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise, amen, we shall rise, hallelujah, in the resurrection morning, when this prison bars are broken. Morning, we shall see him in the air.
Amen.
We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise, and be carried up to glory, to my home. We shall rise, witnesses be. We're declaring this morning that the time of our Savior, oh wait, is coming soon, and very soon is come. Soon is come. Oh,
to sing the songs you used to sing when you were young in the faith. We used to so love that song when we were back home. I think Shelton remember back in Zimbabwe, we used to sing that song a lot. And when you first come to the Lord, it's so real that He's coming soon. If you're not careful, you can move out of that channel. And you'll think you're going to be here forever. And you'll think this age is just going to go on and on. But as the song says, the signs around in earth and air and painted on the starlit sky. To him who has ears to hear and a spirit to discern. Friends, we are late in the day now. That the things that are taking place, if you just follow the news, if you just see what's going on, he's coming soon.
Amen.
The important thing is that we be ready.
Amen.
Really glad to see Sister Lily. The Lord delivered her from the hospital. We do thank the Lord for that. And Brother Pele is at work. He's asking for prayer today. Let's open Revelation chapter 3. We'll take our thought. Revelation chapter 3 from verse 10. To verse 11. This is the message to the age before our age, which was a gracious promise the Lord gave to them, but it also speaks something to us. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. We just were singing, He's coming soon. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Let's also read Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Just to see what the Lord Jesus Christ, we spoke a little bit about this at Brother Wilmore's on Friday night. But the Lord Jesus Christ in the Lord's Prayer, He tells us in verse 13 to pray this. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just want to look unto thee, Lord. Father, upon this day, we've come into this place. We've come in your name. Father, we've come from our homes. We've come from different places. We've come from the east and the west. We've come from the north and the south. To come, Lord Jesus, to this place. And Father, we long to feast with you. We long to dine as your guests. We just long, Lord Jesus, to fellowship with you. So Father, grant unto us that mercy and that grace. Thank you for our sister that you delivered her from the hospital. Thank you that she's here upon this day. We pray for Brother Pele. Won't you bless him at work? Won't you watch over him and be with him, Lord, and draw nigh unto his soul. May you be his strength upon this day. Brother David with his car, would you pray concerning that situation? Lord, please may you have mercy upon him as well. And Father, Lord, Brother Max, I pray for him, Lord, that you'll bless him on his business, keep him safe, bring him safely back, Lord. And Father, just be with us in all things is our desire. Father, we bring this, your word up unto thee upon this day. Father, we long to fellowship with you. We long, Lord, just to rise up out of that place of this dimension of time. to go within the veil, Father, but we need your grace, we need your mercy, each and every one of us upon this day. Father, we've gathered to unite ourselves around this single purpose. May you be glorified is our desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints, you may be seated. But to take a thought, we're going to take it from verse 10 of Revelation chapter 3 and speak about the hour of temptation. Because that's the hour that we're starting to live in. You know, Jesus says that this hour of temptation will come upon all the world. And to try them, to test, to prove every person that dwells upon the earth. So the Lord, having spoken to the Philadelphians, the age before us, he gave them a gracious promise. He says, because you've kept the word of my patience, because you've patiently kept my word, the word that he delivered them, he says, I will not put you into this hour. But is it not an amazing thing that the Lord has put us into this hour? That the Lord has allowed us to be the people to walk in this age as this world goes into this hour of temptation. Now we know the full hour of temptation, we'll see it, is the tribulation period. There's going to come a testing time, friends, a trying time. Now anybody can profess to be a Christian and, well, we'll take everybody at face value. But there's coming a time, as it was in days gone by, that to stand as a believer, it can be at the expense of your life. It can be at the expense of your blood, that it's not going to be something that's going to be just easy to do now. You know, and that's what's coming upon this age that we're living in. And we see, you know, the shadows of it getting deeper and deeper and deeper. As we see the laws that are passed, we see Obama in America and all the things that he does. We see all of this, the same-sex marriage issues and all of that. We see the mechanics are being laid in place. No, the Satan is putting all of his mechanics in place. He's putting his laws in place. He's putting all his great apparatus in place, just waiting for the time. And he doesn't have a permission to do anything until he's given divine permission. But there's going to come a time that there's going to come a quickening into those mechanics, and it's going to become the dynamics, and there's going to be the beast and the system of the beast. And you won't be able to buy or sell, and you won't be able to worship freely as it was in days gone by. And friends, it's not far off. You can see it. And it's just the grace of God that leads us to repentance. Peter said that. He says, the long-suffering of God, it's his grace. You know, as he holds these things off because he's not willing that any should perish. But that all should come to life, to the knowledge of the truth. So we're living right in the shadows. We won't see the fullness of the hour of temptation. We'll just see the squeeze. We'll just see when it's being ushered in, and then there'll come the great deliverance. When our prayers that we pray to say, deliver us from evil, will be fully manifest at the rapture. We'll be delivered from evil. But we're living in that kind of a time. And that's why Jesus told us in the Lord's Prayer, bearing this in mind, that although we may not see the fullness of the hour of temptation upon the earth, but you and I have our hours of temptation as well. Every single one of us, you have your seasons where God deals with you, and you have your seasons of trial. As we said at Brother Wilmore's the other night. And these seasons follow one another. You know, and you can be rejoicing for a season now, but just to rest assured, there's going to come a season of affliction. There's going to come a season where you're going to be tried, where you're going to be tested. You know, that's what Jesus was saying. Always when you pray, pray and say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, and there's a difference between these two things. We saw it on Friday night that there's a difference between divine testing. Now, God leads us into situations to test us, to prove us. And he has a motive and an intent in what he's doing. He wants to establish us. There's a divine purpose when he leads us into those hours of temptation. But Satan also has a motive and an objective. Amen. Now, the Lord leads us into testing. The devil wants to lead us into temptation. Because to tempt somebody in the sense that we look at it, is to induce someone to evil, you know. That's what the devil does. He comes to try to entice us to do evil. God doesn't do things like that. James tells us in the Bible that God doesn't tempt anybody. Neither can God be tempted with evil. But the devil does tempt us. You know, and that's what Jesus is saying there. He's saying, you want to pray because now you don't want to get into your hour of trial, of testing, and in that time you find it's a temptation to you. That the devil takes an advantage of that season that you're in, and you find yourself being lured towards evil, or lured to throw down the faith, or lured to think evil of Christ, or the different things that can happen when you get yourself into times of trial. And that's why, as a believer, you'll always pray to say, please, Lord, do not lead me to temptation. Because we know that in the seasons of affliction, the seasons of trial, as we said on Friday, there's always potential for us to fail. Now, our past experiences have taught us that, especially when we're presumptuous and we just enter into trial and we think, oh, no, I've been a believer for a long time, and we don't enter into things prayerfully. We don't watch and pray when we're going into those seasons of temptation. Those are seasons where we can really end up with a lot of regret. Amen. You know, we can end up now falling short of the glory of God. We can end up making shipwreck. We can end up doing a lot of things like that that we can regret down the way. And that's why Jesus was telling us, always pray this prayer. You know, that you can be prayerful when you're entering into seasons of testing. If God allows your footsteps to go down into the valley, and God allows situations to rise up, like the book of Job and different things, you know, the greatest thing that you can do at that kind of a time is be prayerful. And that's what Jesus was saying, always pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That, Lord, when I'm going through the testing that you've ordained for me, deliver me from the evil that's in that testing. Deliver me from from Satan who wants to take an opportunity of that testing. That he wants to pull me aside and pervert it and confuse and discourage and distract and all the things that he does. Because Satan is a perverter, friends. God will have a purpose, but Satan wants to pervert that purpose. And if you're not prayerful in those kind of times, that's why Jesus was speaking of this in the Lord's Prayer. Those seasons that God meant for our good can be seasons of misfortune. But the good thing, we can lose many battles and we'll still win the war. Because Christ has already conquered for us. And many times when you enter into those things and you lose a battle, you're going to learn far better lessons from losing that battle than maybe you would have in any other way. You know, so the Lord understands that as well. So we are going to fall short. But I think on this thing of these hours of temptation, you don't want to play with temptation. The temptation's not something that you want to play around with. Temptation, like in this prayer, is something you want to keep yourself far away from. Unless the Lord is leading you into a situation because he has a divine purpose in that situation. That's the difference between these things. Because certain trials are ordained of God. You know, so it's not saying that the Lord doesn't lead us into trials. But we just want to make sure that in the midst of this trial, it doesn't become a temptation to us. It doesn't become something which can become a stumbling block to us. And that's why there's a difference between divine testing, which is of God, and the temptation of the devil, which is an enticement of the enemy. And it's good to discern. And that's why Jesus puts us in the Lord's Prayer, because when you're in the spirit of prayer, you're able to discern. Amen. That this is the Lord, or this is the devil now. This is the devil trying to take an advantage. You know, and it's so good when you're in a prayerful spirit, when you're clothed like in the robes of salvation, like the Bible says, you put on the armor of light. And God has equipped you and you've entered into something. God wants to teach you something in that trial. But God has already equipped you and you've yielded yourself. You've responded the right way. You're prayerful and you're facing up to that situation. That's why Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Because they were coming into an hour of temptation. They were coming into an hour of trial. And Jesus, the anointed word, was trying to exhort them at that time to say, your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. Watch and pray, lest this become a temptation to you. Because all of you will be offended in me tonight. Now, there's going to be things taking place you're not going to understand. Yeah, but Jesus, he was perfectly equipped at that time, and he perfectly understood what he was going through. Now, God's method of dealing with trial in our lives is what? You know, we'll pray and say, Lord, please, I don't want to have to go through that. But God's method of dealing with trial is to take us through it. God will never take you around a trial. God will take you through it. Now, that's what he wants, because there's going to be lessons that you learn in that that's going to make you more mature, that's going to do something for you in your Christian experience. The trial of your faith is always for your good, as long as you don't give room to the devil at that time. That's why you need to be praying, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Let me be watchful. Let me be sober. Let me be vigilant in this. Because as we saw on Friday, your enemy goeth around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Peter said, therefore, let us be sober. Let us be vigilant. You know, be careful. Let's not presume. Now, let's not just venture without authority. Let's not just stumble into things. But I really do believe God always warns us beforehand. God tries to equip us and prepare us before he takes us through things that we have to go through. And if you look back, I look back when I was studying on this topic, and there's many places of regret I have inside of my life. There's many times I can see the Lord led me into seasons of trial, and I didn't go into it in the right spiritual way. You know, and I got knocked off course, or you know, the wind tore the sails, you know how the song says, but I'm glad that the anchor holds, though the ship is battered. That although there's been times you look back and say, but if I could have just had that opportunity again, I never would have approached that the same way. Now you have those things inside of your life, but those are stepping stones. Those are things that we should learn from the past defeats, the past times that we never did it right, that we never entered into the right way, that we got tossed about in the midst of the trial far more than we should have. Those are important lessons for us to learn. I think we need to learn the lessons of temptation. When you've been tempted, make sure when God delivers you by his grace that you go back and you really study that campaign inside of your life and learn and get as much virtue as you can from that experience, because that's going to better equip you for the next time. Because the next time you start seeing now, you're entering into that season, you start seeing, you know, the foreshadowing of a season like that once again, you're going to be very careful when you enter into it, remembering what it was before. Like we said on Friday, Peter, when he denied the Lord, I'm sure the next time he went into a season of trial, he was very circumspect in the way that he entered it. Because he was presumptuous at first. Though all men will forsake you, I'll never forsake you. He was trusting in himself. He was trusting in his own strength and his own ability. And the Lord had to teach him a lesson in that. And his trial became a temptation. It became something that almost caused him to completely stumble. But the grace of God upheld him, because Jesus said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. So it showed, friends, that in that trial there was an opportunity, there was a potential for Peter's faith to fail. If Christ hadn't prayed for him and lifted him up and said, Simon, Simon, I've prayed for you, because Satan's desiring to take advantage of this situation to sift you as wheat. And Jesus was warning them as they came to Gethsemane. He says, watch and pray. Be careful here, friends. Watch and pray. And he came back to his disciples and they were sleeping. And he says, why are you sleeping? Rise, pray. That this doesn't become a temptation to you. Because your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And friends, that became something which could greatly have been a stumbling block, you know, to him. But God's grace kept him through. But I'm sure that Peter learned the lessons thoroughly because of the way that he had approached that trial and the way he entered into that trial. Not really heeding the word that was trying to warn him at that time, saying, be careful. Be very careful how you walk at this time. And friends, I believe those kind of times and seasons come to us as well. In Isaiah 43, the Lord shows us his preferred method. Verse 1, if you could put it for us, please. Isaiah 43, verse 1. Listen what the Lord says about or divinely ordained trials. It's really wonderful. He says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. But it doesn't mean they weren't going to go through trial. Verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. So he didn't say, I'm going to keep you from the deep waters. He says, when you pass through the waters, when your footprints, when your footsteps which are ordered by the Lord take you straight in the line of duty to the waters, the deep waters, don't try to shrink back and run away, because I'll be with you. You see, that's God's provided way. And he says, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When thou walkest through the fire, you see, it takes us through the fire. He doesn't allow us to bypass the fire. Now, if we step back and we don't want to go through the trial, well, like I said on Friday, he encourages us and he brings us back to the fire again. Because at some stage, you've got to face up to it. Because there's a reason he wants to take us through that situation. He's going to establish something in us. He's going to strengthen us. He's going to reveal something that's in us. There's some particular purpose for that situation. But It's natural for us because of our past experience to say, I don't want to have to go through this. Because there's a potential that I might fall short here. There's a potential I might let him down. And that's why Jesus says, when you're getting there, pray, Father, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Let this not be a temptation to me. Let this be something that your grace is with me, Lord. That, Lord, I may behave myself the way that you want to behave, me to behave myself in trial. That I may learn what I'm supposed to learn. That the virtue from this situation that you've ordained my footsteps to go through, that I may receive that virtue inside of my experience. But it doesn't say that it's going to be easy, because he says, when you pass through the fire, he says, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Amen. Friends, that's grace. That's the grace of God. And you look back in your life, there's many times you and I should have been overcome. There's many times the enemy thought he had the upper hand. There's many times he thought, that's it now. Like he did the children of Israel at the Red Sea. Like he did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego at the fiery furnace. Like he did with Daniel in the lion's den. God didn't take them away from the trial. God took them through the trial. But God was with them in the trial. And that brought a testimony and did something and achieved something spiritually that trying to avoid that trial would never, ever, ever have achieved. You know, so Jesus isn't telling us here that we should pray and say, Lord, take me away from all trial. That would be going against his own word. But it's the temptation that comes in the trial that you've got to be careful of. Don't allow the enemy to take advantage of that situation. Because that's when you get ourselves in all kinds of trouble. You know, the safest thing, the best condition you can be in the hour of temptation is that situation, it's just between you and God. You know, as much as you possibly can, keep it just between you and the Lord. Don't let the devil have too much of an opportunity to speak to you in that situation. Because once the trial comes between you and the devil, you're going to find yourself in trouble. You know, because the devil's going to come with his 99% truth. And he's going to have his little bit of poison in the truth. And he knows how to come and be your buddy and put his arm around you, you know. Yes, I understand what you're going through. He doesn't understand what you're going through. Only the Lord understands what you're going through. That's why in the midst of trial, spend as much time as you can communing with the Lord. And saying, Lord, let this not become a temptation. Deliver me from the evil in this situation. Let me learn what it is that I'm supposed to learn. But let not Satan take an advantage of this. Now, I'd say that really is the safest way that you can approach up to these things, because Satan is an opportunist. You give him an opportunity, friends, and he's there like a flash. You give him an ear, and it's hard to get rid of him. Now, you just give him an opportunity. Like we said, it's like a salesman who come to the door. If you just let them get a foot in the door, it's difficult to get them out once again. That's the way that Satan is. You know, and having learned his guile and his wickedness, and you know how seductive and enticing his approach is, I'm sure you and I wouldn't want to have anything to do with him. And the moment we start playing around in his territory, friends, we're in a lot of trouble. Amen. Because it's not going to take you long to play around with temptation until you're going to be overcome by that temptation. Yes. Then you're going to become a prisoner to the thing that you thought that you have preeminence over, just like Samson. You spend too much time there on enemy territory, you're going to find yourself in captivity to that enemy. The best thing, stay away. Say, Lord, keep me from this temptation. Deliver me from this evil. And rather let it just be something which is for your good, which is God dealing with us in the seasons of trial. Because that's really what he wants. And that's why in the book of James, if you open James chapter 1, James is the one who really allows us to keep this balance here, because he speaks of both of these principles. James 1 verse 2. Because James is saying in verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. No. So he's not saying be happy when you give the devil an opportunity, obviously. But he's saying rejoice when God has seen it fit and God has judged you able to face up to situations of trial. Amen. James 1, verse 2. It says in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. So the trying of your faith, when your faith is put to the test, it's going to produce endurance. It's going to produce patience. It's going to do something for you. when your faith is put to the test. Now, none of us like our faith to be put to the test. Now, we prefer the flowery bed of ease. Now, we had far prefer that these things are kept far from us. That's how we spoke of the quote, the prophet says, we pray for ease and we pray for peace. And God gives us that which is best for us. He gives us trials and he gives us afflictions and so forth. Because God knows that's the best way to enrich us in our experience as believers. The best way for him to reveal himself to us. Now, the best way for him to deliver us from weaknesses in ourselves and to help us to conquer fears and things that we don't want to have to go through, he says, let's go through those things together. And you come out the other side, and what a testimony that it is. And the prophet says, the first time of doing something is always the most difficult. Now, the first time is always the hardest because you're unsure. You've never been that way before. You've never seen a deliverance in that situation before. But the second time is just so easy. Amen. Because you've already got it in your experience. You know what it's like. You know how to approach it. You know that God is faithful to deliver, to overcome in the midst of that situation. That's why he says to us, we should rejoice. And he says in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So divine trial is for a purpose of bringing us further up the road of maturity, further up the road of perfection. It's bringing us to a condition that we become more perfect, more entire, that there's less and less that we lack or that we want in our experience. That's the purpose that God takes us through things. And that's how he wants to be with us in trial. And verse 12 of the same chapter, he goes on to say, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. That if you can endure it, if you can just be faithful to the Lord, allow him to take you through, allow the divine purpose to be fulfilled, you're a blessed person. But it continues now the other way, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. So this is another type of temptation now. Because he says, blessed is the man that's tempted of the Lord, yeah? That endures temptation for the Lord. But now he's saying, when a man's tempted now, don't say that God is tempting me. This is another type of trial you're going through. This is when you're feeling an inducement to sin. When you're feeling something pulling you to do something that's evil. It's not God in any way that does that to you. It's the devil every time. Whenever there's something trying to influence you to compromise, that's never the Lord. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of the Lord. The Lord is tempting me here. No, he says, for God cannot be tempted with evil. So this is now being tempted with evil that he's speaking about. It's not being tried by the Lord. Amen. It's not a divine trial with a divine purpose. This is now when you are being tempted to do evil. When that woman at work and you married and she makes eyes at you and she says things that she shouldn't and so forth, that's a temptation of the devil. That's the one you should be praying from, Lord, lead me not into temptation. I don't trust myself, Lord. I don't trust my flesh. I don't trust my own ability. Let me stay off the enemy's territory, Lord. Keep him far from me and keep me far from him. Because we realize how difficult those situations become. Because once you open yourself up to temptation, friends, once you open that door, it's not easy to close it once again. Now, once you just get yourself on the computer, then here comes the pornography as a young man, yeah? And you're looking at that pornography, yeah? It's very difficult to put yourself back in the condition before you saw those things. It's almost impossible. It's like Eve when she was in the garden. And she was enticed by the devil. It wasn't a divine trial in that way. It was the serpent who came to seduce her. Came to play upon her passions and her weakness. Because look what James is saying. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. So the devil's preying upon the weakness that's in you. That there's something inside of you that if you're not careful, it'll cause you to self-destruct inside of your life. That's not what God's going to be dealing with. God's going to try to take you through things. God will permit situations to rise up to reveal that to you inside of your own life. Because you can never overcome your enemy unless you discern who your enemy is. So sometimes we think all is well, but the Lord knows there's a serious weakness inside of there. So He allows you to go into a situation. He'll allow the enemy to come as an ambassador, in a sense, as a vessel to entice you. Because the Lord's trying to show you what's inside of yourself. The Lord's trying to show you there's something you need to be delivered from here. You need to take this something seriously inside of your own life. And that's the situation that James is speaking about. He says, "You are every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust." Now that's not something we want to play around with. The prophet says we all have it. Money, woman, popularity. We have, you know, the three manners of temptation. Everybody's got some Achilles heel. You've got some aspect or area of your life that if you don't keep it under the blood continually, that can cause your destruction. That can cause, the prophet says, a minister to get back into the ditch every single time. Yeah, and through the things we've been through, we should be able to discern and know, I don't need to play around with this kind of an aspect. The prophet, speaking of himself, he says, woman was fine. He says, popularity was fine. He says, but it was money. He says, because I grew up so poor. I said, Lord, keep me away from that. It's filth. And the prophet said to the Lord before he went on the campaigns, he said, Lord, if ever there comes a time we have to beg for money, I'm coming off the field. You know, he said, I'm not going to play around with this one of money. And that's when that person came to give him 1.5 million because he had prayed for his wife who was healed of breast cancer. The prophet tore the check up. He wouldn't even see. He said, don't even bring it near me. Because the prophet knew, I don't want to play with this. I was poor when I was young. If there's going to be a place the enemy is going to work, this is the aspect. And every one of us have that kind of a thing inside of our lives that we've got to discern and realize that if the enemy is going to try to take an advantage of me, this is the aspect he's going to try to use. And the prophet says, keep the blood between you and that weakness. Keep prayer, keep the word, keep fellowship, keep the anointing between you and that weakness as much as you can. Don't fellowship with that weakness. Don't let that weakness become your buddy and start speaking to you. And you start speaking back to it. And you start having fellowship with that weakness. You're going to end up on the knees of Delilah as sure as the world. And then you're going to be shaved of your strength. And then you're going to realize who Delilah really is. You're going to realize now that this is an enemy. No, the motive and objective, this has come in my life. I never realized this is the devil trying to cripple me up, trying to make me make a shipwreck. Friends, you don't want to play around with sin. Sin will destroy your home. Sin will destroy your marriage. Sin will destroy your spiritual life. You young people, sin will destroy your testimony. You young girls, sin will take you further than you ever intended to go. You'll end up as a single mother. You'll end up in a situation that you can't reverse. Like when Eve was seduced by the enemy. And the enemy came in. But look how the devil always comes. He does it to our young people, I've seen. The first thing that he said was, did God really say? The first thing he's going to come to try to get you to do is to doubt this. And anything that makes you doubt this is a seduction of the devil, friends. And we shouldn't be playing with that. Now, I would never research something against the Bible. I would never. Why should I take poison into my body and poison myself? That's the devil. I'm in the enemy's territory now. He's going to come. And then what did he say? The serpent says, God's holding something good back from you. The Lord knows, yeah, that if you eat of this tree, you shall become wise. You become like God. And there's always an element of truth in that. But the moment you go and you start eating, because the devil's enticing you to the tree of knowledge, instead of bringing you to the situation that you thought that it was going to bring you to, what did it do to Eve? Her eyes were opened. Now she realized sin. She opened herself out to sin and her eyes were now open to sin. Now she discerned between good and evil. She could never go back to what she was. Never. Now she had to try to cover that for the rest of her life. That's what sin wants to do, friends. It wants to open your eyes to the tree of knowledge. It wants to, instead of God's trials, which bring us closer and closer to partake more of the tree of life, we get to know Him more. We rely more on Him through divine trials. Satan wants to come in the midst of the trial and try to get it to become a temptation that you now go and feed from the wrong tree. And once you do that and your eyes are opened, you know, the prophet speaks about the virgin veil of a girl. Now, once the veil's broken, friends, it can never be repaired again. You know, once you just open yourself out once to that, you can never go back to what you used to be. And it's the same as the virginity of your mind that the prophet speaks about. Now, when you're young and you don't know all of these things of evil, you know, the people at school might tell you, oh, you're missing out on all this. You're not missing out on anything. Yep. You're missing out on something that's going to open your eyes to something that's going to keep troubling you for the rest of your life. And it's best to keep yourself away from that as long as you possibly can. Keep your children away from it as long as you possibly can. Because once you allow their eyes to be opened and them just to watch all these things of violence and watch all these things, I prefer our children to remain as innocent as possible for as long as possible. That when they see violence, they come home and they tell you, Daddy, there was something on at school today. I didn't like it. It's going to give me bad dreams. You say, what was it? They said, it was Scooby-Doo. It's better like that, friends. That even when they see those ghosts and that in Scooby-Doo, they get scared. I don't want to watch that. Daddy, don't put those things on. But friends, you put them on and allow them to watch, and soon the veil is rent. And you can never bring it back again. You can never take them back to the innocence they had. Once your eyes are opened, you can't go back. And that's what Satan comes to tempt us with. He wants to get us to open our eyes to taste of the forbidden fruit. And it'll bring you into a bondage. Instead of it doing what it said, that you'll become like God, it separated them from God. Instead of bringing them to real life, it brought death into the soul. That's what it'll do every time, friends. That's what the devil does every single time. But the prophet says he's a slicker. No, he's not a guy like a bum on the street. You know, he's the guy who comes with his suit and his slick back hair. And he knows all the right words to say. And friends, you listen to him a little bit too long, you're going to find yourself in trouble. And that's why Jesus was saying, when you pray, say, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from evil. And friends, even just praying that prayer shows you understand something about life. That you need him every hour. You need him day by day. And that's why you're praying it all the time. Lord, deliver me from this temptation. But Satan will come and say, why didn't you go and try this or try that? To go and eat of death. And then you'll go and you'll do it. You'll find it's not what you thought that it was. But now you've crossed a barrier that you can't go back. Now you've opened yourself up to something. You've experienced something. Your eyes are opened. And all of a sudden, Adam and Eve realized they were naked. They didn't realize before that they were naked. And God had to come and cover them with an atonement, but they could never walk around naked anymore in the garden. They'd lost the holy veil. They'd lost it. They were in Eden, and Satan deceived them, and the veil was rent. Now we're living in Satan's Eden. Friends, how much we need to keep the veil between us and those things as far as we possibly can. That's why be very careful what you allow your children to read. Amen. What you allow them to watch. There's many things I watch with the children and then they wonder afterwards, hey, Daddy, where did that DVD go? And it goes to this mysterious place where it'll never be played in our house again. Amen. We got Planes 2. My brother gave our Daniel Planes 2, Planes and Planes 2, those DVDs for Christmas. I said, let me watch. You know who played the music? AC/DC played the music. Heavy metal music in the middle. Hey, I went and I showed Daniel and Rachel. I said, can I show you who did this music? And I showed them on the internet. Because I used to listen to AC/DC when I was in the world. I used to have that music, Highway to Hell, and Hell's Bells and all that. And he has Angus Young, the lead singer, on the front of the cover. He's got horns and he's holding a tail. And yesterday I showed it to them. I said, you see, you guys, let me play you a little bit of this music so you'll know next time you hear this kind of a music, you know that it's straight from hell. Yes. It's straight from the devil. Yes. It's better to do that, friends. And all of a sudden, that DVD just went into that mysterious place in the universe that will never be found again. And it's better, friends, because you want to keep them from the hour of temptation as long as you possibly can, friends. So you need to be the filter. Now, sometimes we can be too extreme. Sometimes we're not extreme enough. But it's trying to find that balance. Because there are certain things that are not so harmful. There's certain things that have an innocence in them. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a lot of things out there, friends, that has got real evil in it. And you watch Planes, and there's so much like sexual talk in it if you listen. They won't understand, but you will understand. You find when they speak into each other, you'll be saying, what? This is supposed to be for children, but there's this innuendo and all the things which are being spoken. Friends, this is an evil age. This is Satan's Eden. May the Lord help us. And friends, if we're going to be praying to the Lord, deliver us from temptation. You're defeating the very object of your prayers by putting yourself in temptation. No, by opening yourself up. When you know the internet's a problem, stay away from the internet. If you know it, why keep going back to the same thing time and again? Friends, you allow the devil to keep hitting you with the same instrument. I'd say it's better that we just become wise. And we watch and we pray so we don't enter into these kind of things. Look at Israel in the wilderness. Now God reveals the purpose of divine trial. He led them into the wilderness. When they came out of Egypt, when he called them from Egypt, he led them into the wilderness for a divine purpose. Before he took them into the promise, there were certain things he needed to deal with them about. But when they went into the wilderness, don't forget the devil's going to be there as well to try to take advantage of that situation, to try to complicate it up. Deuteronomy chapter 8, God was leading them into the wilderness for a divine purpose. He wanted to manifest certain things in their midst. He wanted to show them certain places that they needed grace. And this is what he says in Deuteronomy when Moses summarizes it. Deuteronomy 8 verse 2. The Lord says, "And thou shalt remember." They've come through the wilderness now. They're about to go in the promised land. They've come through a lot of trial. There's many shipwrecks along the way. There's many graves in the wilderness. There's many of them that they've buried in the wilderness. Multitudes are buried in the wilderness. This time of trial, the time of testing, the prophet said. And Moses is saying, the Lord says to Moses, tell them to remember. They've got to learn from this. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. Now there's nothing wrong with trial if God is leading you into the trial. That is not the enemy leading you. He's not enticing you into temptation, but it's God leading you into trial. You're going to learn something if you go about it prayerfully. If you're careful and you're sober at that time, it's going to do something for you. He says, these 40 years in the wilderness, what for? Firstly, to humble thee. Amen. So sometimes he takes us through things because like Peter, I don't need anything, Lord. I'll never deny you. Though all of the rest of these, they deny you. I'll never deny you. He had to be humbled. Amen. The Lord had to take him through situations to humble him. That he wouldn't lean on the arm of flesh next time. That he wouldn't trust in himself and his own ability next time. But he realized, Lord, I need you to take me by the hand and to lead and guide me through this. So to humble thee and to prove thee. God is going to prove them, to test them, to see what is really inside of them. Now God knows what's inside of us, but we don't. So sometimes God has to put us in situations so that we see and recognize what he already knows. Because we're never ever going to get serious with the Lord to overcome certain things until we recognize that thing is in us. So that's why sometimes he has to allow us and sometimes allow the enemy to come near. And that's why it says when you pray, say, Lord, you've got to help me at this time. Let not the devil take an advantage of this while you're trying to teach me something. So he says, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. Friends, it's like that. Everybody will seem to be together, but let trial come. Then you'll find out who's really with and who's really not. Step on somebody's toes and you'll find out what's really in their heart. Disagree with somebody and you'll see. They may have sat there quiet for a long time. But the moment you step on their toes, on their pet doctrine or whatever that it is, you find, oh, I never thought there'd be a manifestation like that. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as we handle it the right way. If we handle that prayerfully and we realize I shouldn't have reacted like that, you know, God's going to grant us grace to overcome that for the next time. But sometimes we don't even know what's in ourselves until the pressure comes on. Then we start to see things sometimes we wouldn't want to see in our behavior. Wouldn't want to see unbelief rising up. Different things that start coming up in our experience. And God has allowed us. It's a divine trial. He's put us in the wilderness. He's put us in the hour of temptation. Because he wants us to recognize things inside of ourselves as well. So that we can start to seek him that he may help us in those things. He says in verse 3, and he humbled thee. Again he says it. and he suffered thee to hunger, and then he fed thee with manna which you knewest not, that he might make thee know. So there's something he wants to make you know in trial. He's going to put you in lack so that he can reveal. Don't trust in yourself. I'm the one who helps you. You can make it through if you lean on me. And that's why he allowed them to go through a situation that they realized, oh, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what he says there. That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So God wants to bring us in trust or become more reliant on him, so that we become less reliant on the flesh, our own ability, our own understanding, our own ways of doing things. He wants to humble us and prove us so that he shows what's inside of our heart. Then he makes us hunger, puts us in lack, puts us in need. Then he comes and ministers to the need. He takes us through, and then he shows us, no, you can never overcome these things without me. Watch and pray. Be sober. Be vigilant. Spend time with me when you get into these situations, and I'll see you through. So that was the purpose of the wilderness, friend. But I have to ask you, how many of those message believers that first came out of Egypt really, really were equipped properly by the trials they went through in the wilderness? It was very few. Very few. The vast majority, the season of testing became an hour of temptation to them. And the devil got in and took advantage. And they never entered it in the right spiritual frame. They never entered it the way that Joshua and Caleb did. Those trials and those temptations. And one by one, they came graves in the wilderness. These fell aside. These fell aside. These fell aside. And Paul picks it up now in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. When he starts speaking to us now as the church and starts taking Israel and the church. And we know the prophet took and used this example so many times. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1. He says, moreover, brethren, he's speaking to us, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud. At one stage, we all believed in the cloud. Yeah? All of our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. Verse 2. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, how many believers do you know? Go back to when you first became a believer who were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who believed the message, who took the cloud and says, Revelation 10, the mighty angel coming clothed with the cloud, and believed those things. And now they're in the world. Now they've made shipwreck. Now they're just tombstones in the wilderness. That you'll just go back and look at old photos and you'll ask them and say, what happened to this brother? He's in the world. It's sad, friends. Yet we're all baptized with the same baptism. We're all called under the same message of the hour. But when we go through the wilderness, we don't all approach it the same way. That's why we've got to be careful in the wilderness experience that we go through, the seasons of testing. It says in verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. We all rejoiced in the message. We all ate the same messages. All ate the same spiritual meat. All of us, all those fathers. Verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. There were times we rejoiced in the Spirit. There was time the spirit of condemnation was taken from us. Every single one of us, all of them drank from the rock. And the rock was Christ. Verse 5, but with many of them, not all of them, now there's a many of them, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. And they were overthrown in the wilderness. God never intended the wilderness to be a place for us to be overthrown. He wanted it to be a place to humble us, to prove us, so that he might know what's in our hearts, so that he may feed us, that we may know that we should live just by God's word. But the devil took an advantage of many of them, friends. In the wilderness, the devil got in. And look at some of the things that happened with them. Verse 6, he says to us, now these things were our examples. Our examples. To the intent we should not lust after evil things. So we can be in the message and lust after evil things. What about Baal Peor? when the sons of God looked at the daughters of Baal, looked at the daughters of Moab. And the prophet says that the sons of God looked at the calloused hands, yeah, of the daughters of Zion, the daughters of Israel. And they looked at the hair that was stringy from the wilderness, yeah, from going through the wilderness. They weren't fine perfume. They didn't have all the makeup and so forth of those women of Moab. And the prophet says, they fell into a delusion. A delusion. They allowed the devil to come in and play on that weakness. Instead of choosing the daughters of God, they chose the daughters of men. And friends, that was a great sin. It was a great crime in the eyes of God. God wasn't pleased. Many were overthrown in the wilderness because of that. They just became tombstones down the way. Then he says, let's skip to verse 8. Verse 9. He says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted Christ. We'll see just now. Don't tempt the Lord. Don't put yourself in situations that God doesn't lead you into and expect God to deliver you. That's tempting the Lord. Stay in the line of duty. Stay fortified behind the word. Don't deliver yourself into temptation and then expect, but God must come and deliver me. Many of them in the wilderness, they tempted Christ and they perished because of that. We should never tempt him. We should be submitting ourselves to him, following his leadership in the midst of trial. Verse 10, what did other ones do? The devil took advantage in the wilderness. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. The devil came in with a murmuring spirit. And in the midst of trial, the devil took an advantage. And instead of it being something to better establish them and to give them more of a character, give them more of patience and endurance, they fed that weakness of murmuring. And they murmured in their tents and said, if God is with us, why does this happen? And if God is with us, why does this happen? And they perished, friends, in the wilderness because of their murmuring. God didn't want it to be like that. They allowed the devil to overcome them in the wilderness. They listened to the wrong influence. They listened to the wrong voice in the midst of their trials. There's all these things. That's why he says, verse 11, all these things happened unto them for ensamples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And what is the lesson? Verse 12. Wherefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Amen. Be careful, he's saying. Don't presume. Don't go in the flesh into trial. Watch and pray. Be praying and say, Father, deliver me from evil. Lead me not into temptation. Lord, I'm leaning on you. I trust not in myself. Lord, if you leave me to myself, I'm going to fail. But Lord, if you'll take me by the hand, if you'll make plain my path because of mine enemies, I will prevail because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what the Lord wants us to learn in the season of trial, that we need him. We need to be leaning on him. And without prayer, friends, it's almost impossible. Amen. On Friday, we saw that when the Bible says, submit yourself to the Lord. Yeah, submit to the Lord and resist the devil. It's only in prayer that you can do that. You can never fully submit yourself to the Lord without prayer. Real prayer brings you into submission to the Lord. And real prayer equips you to resist the devil. Because you discern who he is. You discern his motive, his intent. No matter how much he's trying to dress it up, like the serpent did to Eve. But you will look with the spiritual eye beyond the veil. And you say, this is the devil. This is for the demise of my soul. This is not intended to do any good to me. Like with Delilah, if Samson had a brother, prayed, watched him, prayed, he wouldn't have led himself into that kind of a temptation. But he tempted the Lord one time too many. The Lord had delivered him in Gaza. The Lord had delivered him with the 1,000 Philistines. But there came a time the Lord said, enough, enough. You've tempted me too many times. You put yourself in these situations too many times. This time you go into bondage to learn your lesson. And then the man found himself with no eyes, bound in fetters of brass that speaks of judgment, serving his enemies in bondage to the very enemy that God raised him up to show preeminence over. But he played with that enemy too long until he went into captivity. It's a serious thing, friends, to play with sin. Sin is malignant. It's like a cancer. It's like a disease. Be careful of it. Once you allow it to get a grip inside of your life, it's not going to stop. It's going to go from one thing to another, to another, to another. The best thing, stay far away. Put it under the blood. If your right hand offends, cut it off. Rather go into eternal life with one hand, rather than two hands, you'd be lost and go into falling and perishing in the wilderness like these people did. But can you see, many of them were enticed. Many of them murmured, spirit of murmuring. All the different things that they went through. So then he finishes in verse 13. Paul says, there hath no temptation taken you, but is too common to man. He says, don't think that what you're going through is unique. These things have happened before. You know, there's nothing. God leads us the same way. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. So if God puts you in a trial, He knows you can endure the trial. If you just do it prayerfully, if you just lean upon Him, don't lean on your own understanding, don't trust in your own ability, that trial will never overcome you. Because God will never put you as His child into a situation which is too much for you. He'll never do that. That's what the Bible says. So when you get overcome, it means either you're not entering it the right way, or you put yourself into temptation. God didn't lead you into that. You've led yourself into that situation. And leading yourself into a situation is going to take the grace of God to deliver you. Because God is not obligated. God is obligated to deliver you in the line of duty. That's why once you go, the prophet says, don't go and spend time in the bar room. Even though you might say, I'll only drink a Coke. He says, you're on the devil's grounds. Spend as little time as possible on the devil's grounds until God leads you there for a purpose, maybe to testify to something. Then get off there as quickly as you possibly can. But never go onto the devil's grounds just to see what it's like. Let me just go and see what it's like. That's what Eve did. Let me just turn aside and listen to the serpent. Ah. And once it started, friends, it started to gain a momentum until Eve couldn't stop it herself. And then she was overcome. She was anointed. She fell first in her mind. Then she fell in her body. Then she could never go back to what she was. And then she passed it on to her husband, and then he fell. And then they lost paradise. They lost that eternal life, that eternal fellowship that they had. And God had to bring an atonement in. God's grace had to come in. But it was a serious thing that they went through, friends. And that's why Paul is saying that to us. You know, God will never allow you to suffer above which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And if you're prayerful in the midst of trial, God will reveal the way of escape. God will show you the way to handle it. God will say, this is the way to go. Do it like this. But friends, that's why Jesus was telling us, be prayerful about trial. Pray and say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I'd say a believer, friends, from your own experience and mine, we should be praying it on a regular basis. Because it's a prayer showing, Lord, I don't want to presume anymore. I don't want to enter into these things. Just, Lord, I need you. I need you every hour. I need your power. I need your grace. I need your help. Lord, the enemy will overcome me every day of the week if you leave me to my own devices. But with you, Lord, I can do all things. There's nothing that I can do as long as I follow you. I'll have the preeminence at the end. Satan will be trodden underfoot at the end of this trial, Lord, if I'll just go about it the right way. If I'll follow it the right way. And that's why Jesus, he admonished his disciples. I'll just read the scripture. You don't have to put them up in Luke. It says, he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, pray that you enter not into temptation. There was nothing they could do about this trial they were deigned to go through. This was the hour of darkness. They were appointed to go through this because they were following the Son of Man. But Jesus was saying, pray. Don't let this be a temptation. Don't let this be something that's going to entice you to deny me. Don't let this become something. Pray that this doesn't stumble you in your faith. That this doesn't do something which permanently damages your testimony. No, that's what he was trying to tell them to do. There's nothing else they could do. They had to go through the garden. They had to go through what was ordained that night. the Son of Man being betrayed and so forth. But Jesus was trying to tell them, you need to pray. Amen. And then he came back and it says, and when he rose up from prayer and he was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Friends, I'm sure you've been there as well. I've been in times of trial when you're not in the right spiritual condition to face up to it. There's no worse feeling than that. There's nothing worse when a situation comes and you know, Lord, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm sleeping. I'm not in the place that I'm supposed to be. The Lord doesn't want it to be like that. That means we missed some of the signals along the way before we got ourselves into that situation. Because the Lord would have been admonishing us and encouraging us and warning us along the way. But somehow we never received, never submitted ourselves to His counsel, never accepted that visitation in the way that we should, never submitted ourselves and started to be circumspect and sober entering into that situation. But instead, maybe we just got caught up in the natural things of life and all of a sudden we find ourselves and you know, there's a disaster, there's a sickness, there's a, you know, a crisis in life and we just know, Lord, I'm just not where I'm supposed to. And that really needs His grace, friends. And that's why Jesus says, I've prayed for you. Now, He had prayed for His disciples that the devil wouldn't take an advantage. But they had to learn a lesson because of what they were going through. And that's why He says, when He found them sleeping for sorrow, He said, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Friends, when you don't pray, when you don't rise up out of that condition, it's inevitable we're going to hit temptation. Amen. Temptation's never far away. And temptation is a seductive thing, friends. Temptation many times comes in ways that we don't expect. Now, Satan wants to ambush us, bring us in a certain spiritual slumber, then ambush us at that time, and then we're caught. And sometimes when you want to get out of it now and go back, there's no more retreat. And you'll find out that I should have hearkened, I should have been prayerful, I should have been more vigilant in my spiritual walk. I should have listened. I should have waited upon the Lord more. I should have been careful in these kind of things. Now, Jesus knew Himself the need for prayer and preparation before temptation because He was baptized in the Jordan. The Holy Ghost came like a dove and He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And why did He overcome? Because He was prepared. He was led of the Spirit. It was an appointed time of trial. But He was clothed in the spiritual armor. He was led of the Spirit into that situation. He had been prayed up. He had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. That's how when the devil came with the three manner of temptation, Jesus conquered him at that. But it was a temptation. It was an hour of temptation. Satan was trying to entice him away from the program of God. Satan was trying to entice him, to allure him from the very purpose that he had been born and raised up for. Was trying to give him alternatives, give him shortcuts. You don't have to go the hard way. You don't have to pray about marriage. He has an unbeliever. You can just marry this unbeliever tomorrow. The devil does that every day of the week. Amen. When I was single, he did that to me on a regular basis, friends. And he'll do the same to you. He'll come and offer you an alternative to the Word of God. And it'll be enticing, friends. It'll be so attractive, you'll even think, oh, maybe this is the Lord. God doesn't break His word. Amen. Don't blame God for things that He wasn't guilty of, friends. It's the devil. But He's dressing it up in a religious way, trying to entice you to break the word. But what He wanted, and He wanted Jesus to go the shortcut. You don't have to suffer and die. Fall down and worship me. I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth now. You can have it now without the pain, without the suffering, without the prayer, without going through the process. But like we saw before, Jesus knew no man is equipped for the throne unless he first goes through the process. And Jesus would never have been equipped for the throne unless he went through the process. He had to go through the process. That was the very qualifications required to inherit the throne. But Satan was trying to give him the throne before he had the qualifications. And that's why he says, get behind me, Satan. He never bowed himself to him. But Jesus was led of the Spirit. Now that's the key. He didn't lead himself into temptation. He didn't presume and venture into something. He was led of the Spirit. And when God leads you by the Spirit into a trial, He wants to teach you something. If you're just prayerful, it's going to be for your good. It's going to be for His glory. It's going to establish you. It's going to bring forth a testimony. It's going to bring forth character. It's going to do something in your experience if He leads you into it, because He has a purpose and He's never going to put upon you more than you're able to bear. But He's going to give you grace. He's going to show you the way of escape. And as long as you keep leaning on Him, you're going to come out of there better enriched and equipped as a believer. Every single time. And Jesus, when He came out of there, He was so victorious, and He had such a testimony. Yeah, and He had overcome the devil. That's why being led of the Spirit on one side to testing is different than yielding to the spirit of temptation. Never yield to the spirit of temptation. It seems a good idea at the time. Sometimes Satan can build such a pressure inside of a person that you'll just feel, just let me just give in to this. It's the worst thing you can ever do. Friends, just for a short season, sometimes, of the pleasures of sin for a season, a little bit of temporary relief, it can set you back years in your Christian life. Years. For you to come back to what you were from that time, it's not that easy, friends. It's not that easy. You'll think it's easy. You'll think, let me just do this. It's okay. Next week I'll be back in church. I remember we had our friend, Brother Lloyd. He's a very good brother. He came at the same time Brother David came to the Lord. He was a colored brother. And he came to the Lord. He was real zealous. We used to go out with him in the mountain to pray. That day we went out to pray, he disappeared. We didn't know where he was. He had felt such a pressure because he used to smoke. And he just left the Guru Kopje where we had been praying. We went to try to find him. He had gone home, and he had gone and bought his cigarettes. He decided he wasn't coming to church anymore. And we tried to encourage him, help him, but he had made up his mind. A few years later, maybe 3-4 years later, he decided he wanted to come back. I used to go and pick him up from his house, bring him to church, try to fellowship with him. He didn't last. He said, I never thought it would be like this. He says, when I came the first time, there was grace. There was something, but it's not there this time. He said, I thought I could just go and come back any time that I want and get back into that same spiritual state. But he couldn't. And up to today, he's not worshiping. Brother David was speaking to him just the other day. He wants to. He says, please tell the brothers to pray for me. Don't stop calling me brother. And he's such a good man. But friends, receive not the grace of God in vain. Don't take advantage and think you can just tread on grace, tread on the blood, tread on the prayers of your mother and father, tread on the grace that God has bestowed and think you can just tread on it and then just come walking back in one day. You might be able to walk back into the church, but it doesn't matter, you're ever going to get back into that spiritual condition unless there's a real repentance like David prayed in Psalm 51 when he got himself so broken before the Lord that God recorded as a psalm in the Bible, the repentance of David. It's going to take a deep repentance, friends. A deep purging time. That's why it's not worth it yielding to temptation. Rather pray and say, Lord, deliver me from evil. Lord, keep me from temptation. Keep it far from me and keep me far from it. Now, Brother George Quinn always had that saying, grace will never lead you to where grace cannot keep you. If God leads you into a lion's den, He's going to keep you there. If God leads you to the fiery furnace, there's going to be the fourth man in the fire. But when you lead yourself, be careful, because that's presuming. That's presuming. Putting yourself in that situation. That's called tempting the Lord. And the Bible says we must not tempt the Lord. And how do we tempt the Lord? By putting ourselves in situations that we don't know that He wants us to be there. Or you put yourself, look what had happened in Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. Look at this temptation of Jesus. We know it, but look what Satan said to him in this temptation of Jesus. Verse 5, Matthew 4. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him upon the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, the devil will come and give you scriptures. He's saying, go to the pinnacle of the temple, however high that it was. And all the people will be there. The worshippers come in. Throw yourself down. Because it's written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time you shall dash your foot against a stone. Friends, the devil is cunning. Is it a throw yourself down because the word says the angels are going to catch you? No, it doesn't say that. It says that if you in the line of duty, God won't allow you to trip and stumble and fall. That if you're walking in the ways of God, if He's leading you, when you stumble, He's going to pick you up and help you to go. That when you put yourself in the way of evil, or when you put yourself in a situation, say, okay, Lord, I'm do this. Prove that you're God now. That's tempting the Lord. And Jesus, He picked it up straight away when the devil came to Him like that. Verse 7. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't put yourself in harm's way to prove God. Don't say, if God is with us, why doesn't He do this, that, and the other? If God is with me, why am I not married yet? Be careful, friends. That kind of an attitude is going to get you in trouble because Satan's already getting inside of there. You'd rather do like Jesus did and said, Father, this isn't easy for me. If it's possible, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Submit yourself to the Lord and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what you want. So the promise, they only apply to people in the line of duty. When the Spirit leads you into the wilderness, when the Spirit leads you into temptation, when God leads you into something to teach you something, that's when the angels are going to bear you up. Like when Jesus was in Gethsemane, it became too much, an angel came and strengthened him. Because he was right in the line of duty. God had to equip him. God will never allow you to be tempted above that which you're able. Even if you make your mistake, He's going to help you in the line of duty. But don't put yourself in the way of the enemy. Don't put yourself on the enemy's grounds and challenge God. Now you must come and deliver me. That's tempting the Lord. And Jesus says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We don't want to do that, friends. Now just coming to a close. The prophet, when he speaks about the hour of temptation, this hour that's coming upon the earth, we're right in the shadows of it, like I said, this hour of temptation. He speaks of it in the Church Age book, page 313, the Philadelphian Church Age. He says, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So friends, God is going to test this age. God is going to test every Christian in this age. God is going to test every believer in this age. He's going to put us in things that are going to manifest who we really are. And if you're a real believer, it's going to be for your good. If you're not a real believer, be careful. It's not going to be easy. As we get closer and closer to the end, Jesus warned and said, brother will betray brother. He says, many of you will become offended in me. Many will fall away. Paul says, before the coming of the Lord, there'll come a great falling away. When the real trial comes, and that's why, friends, now we need to be serious about these things. Now we need to be serious about our prayer life. You don't want to be trying to learn how to pray when the crisis is coming. Now when the crisis comes upon you and you say, now let me try to learn how to pray. That's like the foolish virgin. When the midnight cry came and then now they have to try to find the oil in the lamp at that time. You don't want to be doing it like that. God doesn't want it to be like that. He wants to lead you and I in an hour of preparation. There's a time of preparation before the hour of temptation always. That's why He says, I will send you Elijah. Yeah? Elijah shall come what? To prepare a people for the Lord. Amen. That's what the anointing on the message is for. But you need to spiritually in truth. Feed on the message. Give yourself to prayer. Let God equip you now. For whatever trial, whatever it is that He's going to lead you and I into in these days to come. Because I won't have time today, but I've got a lot of quotes of what the prophet says to come. About when the council tightens up and about all the different things that are going to come just as we're near the end. Friends, it's going to come a time of pressure, a squeeze. And already in the message, look at how many people fell away in America just because of the cloud. Where were they? Why were they not prepared? How is it that something like just come and many perish in the wilderness at one time? Surely they must have missed something in the preparation before that. And the Bible says these things are for our examples. Because we know better than anybody. We should learn from it. That we should be sober, be vigilant and say, no Lord, not in my own strength, not in my own ability, but by your grace and by your mercy. And that's how the prophet says this temptation will be exactly like in the temptation in Eden. It'll be a very inviting proposition held up in direct opposition to God's commanded word. So as we get to the end, the beast is going to rise up. Amen. The World Council of Churches is going to tighten up. And if you don't join the system, you can't worship. And so the devil's going to offer something and say, look, Jesus wanted us to be one. Come and worship in this system. He's going to offer an alternative to the word. You see? And the multitude's friends are going to fall for that. But it's just the same as you and I in our lives. Like I said, if you're seeking for marriage, instead of waiting for the word to become flesh, Satan will come with a very inviting proposition in direct opposition to the word. And God will say, why don't you just marry this person? You know, they're a Catholic person. No, they are what? Friends, that's a temptation. That's the hour of temptation. And we need grace in the hour of temptation. And if you've played around and you haven't been serious coming into the hour of temptation, it's not going to be easy for us to stand. Because multitudes are going to fall as it moves in the tribulation to the full hour of tribulation, full hour of temptation. It's not going to be easy for people to withstand the pressure. Because the prophet says, as this pressure increases, and it will, it'll be harder to resist. For to resist will be to lose privilege. So the ministers and the churches will think, hey, look, rather we just join the World Council Church. At least we can keep preaching because of the pressure. Let's rather just yield ourselves and give in to this. And then they take on the mark of the beast because it's a religious boycott. And the prophet says, and so many will be tempted to go along. For they will feel it's better to serve God publicly in the framework of this organization than not to serve God at all publicly. But they err. To believe the devil's lie is to serve Satan, even though you may want to call him Jehovah. It's a strong statement, friend. When you believe the devil's lie and you submit yourself to him, be careful who you're worshiping. When you give yourself over to him, be careful. It's an act of worship. Rather resist the devil and submit yourself only to one, because you shall worship only the Lord your God. So you can see the devil is always going to come and present something to you which isn't the word. Now we'll finish off with this thought about Israel when they wanted a king. It was an hour of temptation to Israel. God had a plan, friends, in the book of Samuel. And the prophet says, if Israel could just have waited, God would have sent them their king Jesus. The word would have become flesh. God already had a solution for them. The word would have been made flesh to meet the need which Israel had. But the people couldn't wait for God's time. And the pressure started to build. And then finally, what did they do? They came to Samuel and says, give us a king like the other nations. And they put pressure and they tempted the Lord. And the Lord looked inside of their hearts and he saw, the motive and objective here is not right. They've already made up their minds. They already wanted to be done a certain way. So the Lord said, give them what they desire. And he gave them King Saul. He said, but it's going to be hard for them. He's going to take your sons and put them in the army. He's going to take your daughters and make them, you know, cook and all the different things. He's going to put taxes on you. And after a while, the people started to groan when they were under Saul. And they started maybe to think they're genuine people to say, we should have kept Jehovah as king. We should have waited for his appointed time. But they pressurized God. They put pressure on God until God gave them up to their own lusts. God allowed them to have it. It's a sad situation to be in, friends. You don't want to be tempting the Lord like that. And then when Saul came on the way, he had his hour of temptation. And God says, okay, let's use this man. Let's see. Make him a king. And then the prophet says it to him. He says, Saul, I'm coming after 7 days. Wait for me. I'm going to come, make sacrifice in whichever place it was, in Gilgal or whatever it was. And let's read it from 1 Samuel. We'll finish with this scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 8. Now look at Saul's great mistake. And this caused him to lose his adoption, caused him to lose the kingdom. Not to say he was lost. He went into the kingdom, you know. But God took the kingdom away from the man. Because of this, this was his hour of temptation. Verse 8. So Saul waited according to the sayings of the prophet. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal. and the people were scattered from him. The pressure started to build on Saul. The Philistines were there. He heard they were coming. 7 days had passed. The people were starting to get scared and to go home. But God was testing him. It took longer than he thought for God to come and minister to his need. And when now it went beyond what he thought God should have taken, he decided to take it into his own hands. And that was the worst thing that he ever did, friends. He took things into his own hands. And verse 9. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me. Now, friends, this was always in his heart. It was always in his heart. I'm sure when he used to watch Samuel making offerings, Saul would have thought, I can also do that. It was always there. And trial comes, pressure comes to manifest what's in your heart. So now Samuel doesn't come in the time appointed. It's now the 8th day, yeah? And Saul says, bring me a burnt offering. I'll offer it myself. And peace offerings. And he burnt the burnt offering. Verse 10. Now watch, just to show God did his things. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. That was appointed of the Lord, friends. Samuel came. If the man could just have overcome himself, if he could have just been watchful and in prayer and say, this is becoming a temptation to me. This is going to cause me to transgress. This isn't going to be for my honor. This isn't going to work out to establish me in my kingdom. This is the role of the priesthood. This isn't my role. And Samuel comes. But now watch now Saul, his attitude that he had to the correction. Verse 11. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because. He starts with a because. He's got reasons already. Why he's done it? Instead of falling down at the feet of the prophet and saying, you God's representative, I've done wrong here. My conscience tells me I've done wrong. I know I've crossed a boundary here that I shouldn't have crossed. Please, seek for mercy of the Lord for me. As soon as Samuel comes, he says, why have you done this? He says, because. Listen, because I saw that the people, he's going to blame the people first. The people were scattered from me. Then he's going to blame the prophet. And thou, yeah, camest not within the days appointed. And the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash. Not one acknowledgement of himself. So I've done wrong. I yielded to temptation. I gave myself. I shouldn't have listened to the devil here. He says, because of the people, they put me under pressure. Amen. Because of you, you didn't keep your word. And because the Philistines are putting pressure on me. What else did you expect me to do? That's what people say. I'm 20-something years old. How do you expect me to live like this? I want to also get married. Yeah? Yeah, I want to get married. Who do you want me to marry? You want me to marry one of those people there at church? It's a sad thing, friends, when you get into that kind of a... It's a temptation. Amen. Be careful in your hour of temptation. Be careful at that kind of a time. Because if you have that kind of an attitude, Satan's going to give you another proposition. He's going to bring an alternative to you, which is contrary to God's word. And it's going to seem to be God's answer to exactly what you're looking for. Amen. But in reality, it's a temptation of the enemy. And it's never going to work for your good. It'll never work for God's glory. It'll never work for your good. It'll never. And you may desire it and plead for it, and God will do like he did to Israel and say, if it's in your heart, go and do it. It's up to you. Go ahead. Do what you want. But it won't be for your honor. And later on, like with King Saul, when you find yourself in bondage and you realize this isn't what I thought that it was going to be, and you find yourself in a home and there's no God in your home, and there's no God and godliness in your husband, and that person's not governed by the same kingdom that you're governed by, you're going to groan, my friend. And you're going to look back and say, I just wish I had have watched and prayed in my hour of temptation. I just wish I had have waited upon the Lord. If I had have been sober, if I had been vigilant at that time, if I hadn't have listened to the enemy, if I hadn't have spent too much time on his territory, listening to his voice. But friends, people don't learn. They don't. They have to learn it themselves, some people. And it's sad. God doesn't want us to learn through chastisement. Doesn't want us to learn. He wants us to learn from his word. That's God's perfect way, is his revealed word. When He reveals His will in His Word, He wants us to submit and yield to that. But friends, God sometimes will say, go ahead, have that king, have that husband, do what you want, do what's in your heart. Like He said to Balaam, when Balaam wanted to go, and the Lord says, don't you go. And then Balaam continued to plead with the Lord because he saw the great gifts, you know, and all the money that was being offered by Balak the king. Eventually the Lord said, go. And then the angel met him on the way with a sword in his hand, yeah? And if it wasn't for his donkey, he would have been a dead man. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. Why? Because the Bible says that God gave him over to his heart's desire. But it brings leanness in the soul. You'll have nothing of God in your experience in that. Because God will be teaching you a lesson that you should have humbled yourself. You should have submitted yourself. My ways are best. I know the way of escape. I'll never put you through something which is too much for you. I'll never push you too far that you can't endure. I am your way of escape. When you pass through the situation, I'll be with you. But just trust in me. But sometimes the pressure starts to build, the prophet says, in the hour of temptation. And here comes the devil. And if we're not careful, when we're discouraged and we're low, we give an ear to him. And he comes to offer us this in opposition to God's perfect will for us. And we give ourselves into that, and friends, we can regret it. Regret it time and time again. Verse 12. Therefore, he summarizes it all. Said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I've not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore. In the kingdom of God, you never force yourself, friends. God has to open the way. Don't force yourself. I forced myself into a relationship. Friends, you want to force yourself in the kingdom. Don't do that. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will guide, direct your footsteps. He has promised to provide all of your needs according to His riches in glory. He will provide. He has His season. He has His time. He has His way. And you just need to keep on praying, Lord, deliver me from this temptation. Keep me from this evil until your appointed time that you come and you minister to my need. And you give me the answer. You give me the Word made flesh, which is your answer to my situation. It says, I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord, thy God, which He commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established your kingdom. God was going to do something wonderful for you. God was going to establish you. God was going to show who He is on your behalf. But because of the pressure, because you couldn't stand the hour of temptation. Verse 14. But now, thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought a man after His own heart. Because He's tried this man and He found in this man's heart isn't what pleases me. He just wants to please Himself. He wants to force His own way. He wants things done His own way. But God had a David out there. A man after His own heart. A man that would make his mistakes, but he was a man after God's own heart. And the Lord says, Saul, your kingdom's not going to continue. You'll still be a brother, but your kingdom's not going to continue. You'll still be a sister, but you forfeited the blessing that I was going to bestow upon you if you could have just have prayerfully endured the pressure. Just allowed me to achieve the purpose I was trying to achieve in the trial, to bring you to a certain spiritual condition that I could raise you up. Establish your kingdom before the sons and daughters of Israel. This is a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. That's a lesson, friends. That's a real lesson because the Bible says the Holy Ghost came upon Saul and God gave him another heart and he became a new man. He had a real experience with God. And in the beginning, he was little in his own eyes. And when they wanted to anoint him, he hid himself in the baggage. But friends, God allows us to go through things to humble us, to prove us, so that we can see the areas that God really knows we need to pray about inside of our lives. And if he could have just have held on at that time, when Satan was coming to offer him an alternative, to say, force yourself here. But he didn't. submit himself to the Lord. He didn't watch and pray. And therefore he entered into temptation. He gave into the pressure. He listened to the voice of the people. He gave into the circumstances that were pressing themselves in around him at that time. And Satan came and got him and took an advantage. And now we speak about the kingdom of Saul and the kingdom of David. And we make great comparisons about them. My friends, I learn lessons from them. I'm sure you do too. As many times I've, under pressure, you look back and say, I wish I could have handled that different. I wish I hadn't have made that decision. Well, those things are for examples that you may learn by to better equip us. And may the Lord help us as we go forward. But let's always remember that prayer, friends. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's stand. Let's come to a time of worship before we dismiss saints. It's a spiritual walk. As long as we stay close to him, he has everything under his control. He knows how to lead us to victory in every battle, every situation. But we need him. We need him. Every hour we need him. Clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Take it not. Restore unto me a joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And renew a right spirit within me. Creating me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not.
Cast me not. The joy of thy
renew a right spirit within me.
Lord, prepare
me to be a sanctuary. Lord, for you, O Lord. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me.
Amen. Let's bow our heads, saints. Whatever your desire before the Lord, if you want to just raise your hand up to the Lord as we had prayed before we dismiss. You know your needs, you know your desire. Friends, every single one of us have needs. We just need more of Him. We just need more of His leadership. We just need more of His grace. And I'm sure like me, you'll want to pray again, say, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Father, we're bringing ourselves unto Thee upon this day because we're grateful and we're glad, Father, for Your grace and Your mercy, Lord. Father, we know what it is to submit to You. We know what it is when You lead us, Lord. You never fail, but Father, we know what it is when we lead ourselves as well. Father, we know what it is when we yield to temptation, when we give ourselves over to the working of the flesh. That's why, Father, we do not want to go that way. Amen. Father, deliver us from the evil one, we had asked, Lord. Father, deliver us from temptation that would desire to entice us away from You. Each and every one of us, Lord, our young people, I pray for them, Lord. Such an enticing age, Lord. Father, such an intellectual age. When, Father, You just have mercy, Lord, and just, Father, draw nigh unto souls and reveal Yourself to make Yourself known, Lord, because Your ways are good and Your ways are sure. And, Father, Your ways, they are so prosperous, Lord, when You walk in them, Lord, but we know that it's a narrow way. So, Father, encourage and strengthen Your people upon this day. You see every request, every hand that has been raised upon this day, every need that there is, Father, I just want to consecrate and commit and dedicate all things into Thine hands, Lord, even at this time, Lord. Bless Your people upon this day, I'd ask and I'd pray. Father, them that aren't here upon this day, I pray for each and every one of them, wheresoever they would be. Brother David with his card, you pray, Lord, that You'd grant him grace. Minister, Lord, mercy unto him and his family, Lord, I'd ask and I'd pray. People that are at work, people that are here and there, Lord, I just consecrate and commit them into Thine hands. Won't You lead us now, Lord, as we go from this place. Give us traveling mercies, Lord, as we go back to our respective homes. Watch over us in the week that lays before, Lord. Father, lead us and guide us, Lord, in the spirit of prayer, we had asked, Lord. Quicken us, Lord, that You may watch and pray, Father, even at this time. Speak unto our souls. Feed us, lead us, guide us, Lord. Be glorified, we ask, Father. Minister to every need. Be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing one more, saints, before we dismiss.
This is my day. This is the daily bread. Your spoken word revealed to me.
This is the air I breathe.
This is the air I breathe.
This is the air I breathe.
Holy presence living in me. I'm desperate for You.
I'm desperate for You, Jesus.
And I'm lost without You.
I'm lost without You, Lord.
And I'm desperate for You.
I'm desperate for You, Lord.
I'm lost without You. Lord, to You,
and
I desire to worship and obey. I'm desperate for you.
I'm desperate for you, Lord.
And I'm lost without you.
I'm lost without you, Lord.
And I'm desperate for you.
I'm desperate for you, Lord.
And I'm lost without you.